Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect, it is 1:34 p.m. on Wednesday, April 6th, 2022. Present today are Representative Thompson, Representative Carpenter, Representative LaVon, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Josephson, Representative Johnson, and myself, Co-Chair Merrick. This afternoon, we will consider amendments to House Bills 272 and 273, which deal with increasing the BSA. So we will begin with House Bill 272, increasing the base student allocation, by Representative Story. We last heard this bill on April 1st, and amendments were due to my office on the 2nd. We have five amendments before the committee this afternoon. We will only be going until 1:55 p.m., so we will do as many amendments as we can before that time. Let the record reflect, at 1:34, we're joined by Representative Wohl. Are there any questions before we get to amendments? Seeing none, our first amendment, number one, is by Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson, is there a motion?
Object.
There's been an objection. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So I'm introducing this amendment, which would level playing field when it comes to funding for correspondence students. The current law limits correspondence students to 90% of what non-correspondence students would have, and this amendment makes them whole and funds them at the same level. We all know the form is complicated, and we're not here to really talk about the changes to that. In this amendment, this formula funds the students on, the formula funds schools on a per student basis and is based on K through 12 students only. The average daily membership of each school is taken during the 20-day count period of the last Friday in October each year to calculate the allotment per student. So one of the reasons I believe that this isn't a timely amendment is the change in the way that we have been doing business, even in the workplace, but as well as in schools. Many correspondence students are, particularly during the COVID, time of COVID, correspondence and full-time students have become very similar in the sense that students are at home that are considered full-time students, and then many of the correspondence students may take some over time has developed that they may take some classes at the school themselves. So it's not as bright of a line as when this was originally established between direct correspondence and between an attendee at a regular traditional school. So funding its correspondence students at the same level as other students is fair and timely. We talk about inflation, we talk about increased cost of living, and how difficult it is for school staff and families. Well, correspondence students and their families are no different. And one thing that COVID-19 has taught us all, it's the value of the remote learning, and remote learning has really had a place in our school system for the last several years. And correspondence has actually been, they've actually been the ones that have paved the way for a lot of the understanding and all the curriculum that they've already have. So, if we support increasing the BSA, I would make this amendment to make it fair and make sure that all students are counted in the same way.
Great, thank you. Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Johnson, I believe this amendment would also include the IDEA program, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Not just IDEA, but there's multiple homeschool programs that were, they may not be specifically in the district that the student is doing the correspondence at, but it is would apply to all of the correspondence students.
Okay, and IDEA being one of a number, and IDEA I believe is, well, I know it is headquartered out of Galena, and so I just wanted to express my support for your amendment, so thank you.
Thank you. Let the record reflect, at 1:36 we were joined by Representative Edgman. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, can I just quickly read a statement about my homeschool district's position on this amendment?
Briefly, Representative Josephson.
From the OMB director at the Anchorage School District, by including correspondence schools at the beginning of the foundation formula, apparently that's what this would do, this amendment would create an inherent inequity in funding between brick and mortar schools and correspondence schools based on the costs associated with the instructional delivery models. The costs associated with providing education at a comprehensive high school that provides gyms and fields for sports, auditoriums for music and theater, shops for CTE courses, and kitchen cafeteria spaces to feed students are not comparable to a correspondence school that can operate in limited space and scale up or down the number of students without a need to adjust building sizes. Additionally, there's considerably more staffing, both direct instruction and ancillary supports, necessary to provide face-to-face services than through a correspondence model, yet this amendment would provide the same funding to each. And it's for that reason I will be opposing the amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And I understand we're going to be leaving in 15 or 16 minutes, but I don't want to have an expedited discussion just because of that. This is a very important topic. I oppose the amendment for many of the reasons that my colleague just mentioned. Correspondence schools and homeschool programs like IDEA and Raven and BEST, and there's many others. First of all, I've seen a massive increase in enrollment due to COVID, and that lack and the migration of students from brick and mortar to correspondence has decreased the amount of money that school districts get. That's one. Schools are more expensive to operate. They're brick and mortar. They have a different teacher to student ratio. For every classroom, let's say you have 25 kids, for homeschooling, I think you can have 150. So the numbers are a lot different. They don't have to maintain physical structures. There's a complicated formula that we saw in this committee regarding how much each district gets per student. It starts with the BSA. There's all kinds of multipliers and where the school is and how many kids are special needs or independent learning, I forget the exact initials, but I'm sure someone here does. Anyhow, all these multipliers go into this number, including the BSA, but they aren't funded at 100%, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And I don't want to crack that egg open in a 15-minute discussion right now without people from the department and other people that know a lot more about it than I do. But I do know that there's a reason they're funded differently. They have different needs. They have different expenses. I know that families get a few thousand dollars per student for homeschool, which they can spend on curriculum or on, you know, other physical education, music education. They can use it for violin lessons or other expenses like ski trips under the auspices of physical education. So I think these programs have to be examined before we go in and changing any formula. So I do not support this amendment.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I will be brief. However, I'm speaking against this amendment from up close and personal experience. My wife is a homeschool coordinator, and so I'm very familiar with how students, districts receive, if they have a homeschool program, how they receive 90% of the funding for every homeschool student that they have versus 100% for brick and mortar students. And as was just mentioned, it's for good reason by the two previous speakers, the costs that go into providing education for brick and mortar students are just significantly different, and it's a different scale, a different lots of different things at play there. And I know that even though my wife works quite hard with her homeschool students, she would be opposed to this particular amendment based on the fact that she also has experience in being a classroom teacher, and it's just a different thing. And for us to open up the BSA in this way with this one amendment, there's just too much at play here, and so I can't be supportive of it. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Carpenter.
Interesting amendment. I appreciate bringing it forward. I think that this correspondence program in the state is probably the highest demand increase over the last 4 or 5 years of any of our education programs. And I'm saying that just anecdotally. I don't have the evidence to back that up. seems to me that if parents are demanding this program over other programs, we ought to understand why. It doesn't have anything to do with this amendment, but what the amendment does do is recognize that the largest growth in our education system is not fully funded, and this would reduce, would eliminate that funding restriction and would have the effect of fully funding that portion of the education system that is in highest demand by our parents. Seems like a wise thing to do. What I don't understand, based on the amendment, is what the dollars associated with that change would be. And that is something that does concern me. So I will have to consider this.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Foster and then Edgman.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Can I ask a question of Ms. Teschner?
Yes, Ms. Teschner, are you available?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you. If you could place yourself on the record for Representative Foster.
Yes, for the record, Heidi Teschner, Director of Finance and Support Services with the Department of Education and Early Development.
Thank you, Ms. Teschner. I just want to verify this amendment would not, there's two ways to look at this. It's either the pie stays the same, and does this amendment mean that if the pie stays the same and it doesn't increase, then correspondence programs take money at the expense of brick and mortar, or does this amendment increase the size of the pie? It does not affect the amount that brick and mortar will get. It just means that correspondence will get a bump up. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Foster, yes. So it would increase the pie and give an increase counting a correspondence student at 100% versus a 90% of their average daily membership.
Okay. So it will not harm brick and mortar. It just brings up correspondence schools. And I think point was made that it's not just students are being, you know, taught at home by their parents using, you know, books and programs that are sent to them. It's much more than that. Funds are also given to parents so that they can enroll their kids in local music classes, and that has to be paid for, or they can, you know, take a field trip to somewhere else, whether it's a drive or a fly out to somewhere. And so anyway, I just want to make that point that it's much more than just you know, being taught at home. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Edgman.
So I have to agree with the comment that this is you know, sort of in a sneaky way, and I don't mean that to be disparaging, but in a sort of you know, sort of creep up on you kind of way. This is a hugely impactful amendment, and I just think there's a lot of things built into this, and I guess I would ask a question on Ms. Teschner, if I could. Co-chair, that so the money that's in the operating budget that we're debating on the floor for an increase to the BSA, that would now be, that $57 million would now be sort of stretched a little bit further, because correspondence schools under this amendment, if it would be passed, would be competing for that, not just on the 90% threshold, but on the 100% threshold. Is that a correct assessment?
Ms. Teschner?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, the $57 million one-time money would just be paid based on adjusted average daily membership. So yes, the increase to the this correspondence would be reflected should this amendment pass, and the $57 million increase, then that increase to the correspondence would be reflected in the adjusted average daily membership of that $57
million. Follow-up?
Yeah, and then a follow-up question, maybe on a different angle, would be the notion about not taking state dollars and providing them to private schools as opposed to public schools. And that's been fairly delineated in the Constitution, I think, in a lot of court case history that's ensued since then. But I mean, is there any risk? Are some of these schools like private schools? And is there any risk in that area that you're aware of, Ms. Teschner?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, the school, there's about 29 school districts that are projecting to have correspondence average daily memberships in fiscal year 23, and all of them are public schools, so none of them are private that would receive this increase.
I guess
Representative Edgemond.
Yeah, my last point would be, so we're purporting to change a formula, I think, that's been in law since at least 1998. Is that correct? Maybe you can steer me in the right direction on that. But at the same time, basically give correspondence schools that don't do a lot of things that a brick and mortar school does, and give them the same funding. I mean, that's a two-part question there. One is, so anyway, if you might be able to respond to that, please.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Edgemond. So the current statute was put into, formula was put into place in 99. It was originally 80% and increased to 90%, and I'm sorry, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly when that changed. But it's trying to remember. Sorry, can you repeat the second half of your question? Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry, hold on. What this does is it just changes the correspondence from 90 to 100%, so it counts them as a full-time average daily membership. What it doesn't do is give them all of the formula factor adjustments, like the special needs factor and the school career and technical education factor, as an example. So they would just stay in the formula as we count them, but add them as a 100% versus 90%. Does that answer your question, Representative Edgemond?
Yes, it does through the co-chair, and it also points out that it must be well and good to have the funding formula in front of us to fully be able to absorb what this means, but I'm good for now. Thank you.
Thank you. And this discussion merits further consideration, so I'm going to go ahead and conclude our meeting for today. And our next meeting will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. We will consider House Bill 414 by the governor on the federal infrastructure funds that are headed to the state. Because we are on a crunch timeline this week with the budget, that will be just an overview, and we will come back to the BSA bills 272 and 273 at a meeting in the future. Thank you all for being here at 1:51 p.m. We are adjourned.